ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Sunday.
Rugby League is on your radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can our panel of ABC Rugby League experts handle six questions in 3 minutes? Can they avoid getting stuck on the fence? And can the referee, Andrew Moore, avoid going into the bunker? It's time for Six Again.
Righto, Luke Lewis. West will reportedly soon announce the re-signing of fullback Jareem Buller. How important is that after Luai's decision to sign with PNG?
Oh, I think it's just probably the most important signing they can get for him. He's been there. He's come through for, through the grades. He's been an amazing footballer from since he's come into first grade, and I think he's going to get better and better. And when you think of West Tigers, the first couple of players you think of, he's up there right at the top there, Jareem Buller. So I think it's very important he gets it done.
Yeah, positive. Buller is good. They've extended both Mays, Taylor and Terrell. They're heading the right direction.
John Gibbs, how do the Perth Bears possibly compete with the tax-free PNG Chiefs in signing players?
It's going to be very difficult, and I don't even know if it's that. That's one facet of it, but there's other things. And I did read with a little bit of a smile this morning, Anthony Segley, their CEO, said, well, we're a great chance to make the semis next year. Well, you first got to get a team, and if I was to win two games next year, my first year, the way things are going, I'd be happy. And I still think Mal Meninga's a lot.
Louis, some club bosses want under-21s rep match instead of the under-19s that we've become accustomed to on a standalone night, which would feature NRL players. A good idea or not?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't know all the ins and outs about it, but standalone 21s. No, you know what? I'm going to go against what I said now, the more I think about it. So, no, I don't think they don't need to have a standalone. They should be playing as a curtain raiser. Simple.
Yeah, under-19s is fine. I mean, under-21s, you should have made it.
Gibbsy, Daniel Tupou, well, not have, that's the point. Daniel Tupou is now equal third with Billy Slater on the all-time try scorers list with 190. Does he get anywhere near the attention he deserves?
No, he doesn't. I think he's an underrated player, and Daniel Tupou has always produced for the Roosters. He's understated, and that's probably the way he likes it. He's been a superb player, and he's been a great ambassador for the Roosters, and he's a try-scoring whiz. Good on him.
I wouldn't say he's underrated.
Louis, should Manly Warringah sign Kieran Foran as its next coach now?
Well, he's got all the yeses for me, because he's ticked every box that they needed to tick. He's got them on board. They're all playing good football. They're all happy. They're winning games. So why wouldn't you? If you've got the team humming now, and he knows how to get the best out of them, and the players are enjoying his culture and what he's brought to the side. You have to sign him.
Yep, sign him. Sign him.
Jonty, finally, which team wins next? Melbourne or St George Illawarra?
Ah, well, that's a difficult one. Melbourne, what have they got? West Tigers, Paramagic Round, Dogs, Roosters, Dragons, Knights, Panthers. Well, I'm going to go Melbourne. Melbourne, you forced me into it. I'm going Melbourne.
Which one of those are they winning?
Parry and Magic Round.
That's the same as what you thought, Louis.
Yeah, I think they'll win before the Dragons. I don't see any upside from the Dragons at the moment. It's. I feel like they're getting worse.
They'll pull an eel out of their hat in Magic Round.
Yeah, I know. I feel like they're getting worse. I feel like Melbourne, there's bits and pieces there at the moment, and I feel like they're just off at the moment. There's a couple of missing pieces, but I reckon Craig Bellamy will get that right. I think the players will get it right before then, so I feel like they'll get the win before the Dragons will.
Now, we'll go back to some of these questions that you may not have had a chance to answer, but we've just got an update from the Brisbane Broncos in regards to Dean Mariner, who has suffered an acute compartment syndrome injury to his right thigh during that game last night. He has been admitted to hospital in Sydney and has undergone surgery this morning. We'll get a further update from the Broncos after consultation between the club medical staff and his surgeon. But the injuries for Brisbane just continue.
That's a really bad cork. Where it's tore at all. Yeah,
because you normally don't require surgery for a cork, do you? So it's done a lot of damage.
Bad ones are bad, but that's as bad as a cork can get.
We will get to last night's games or yesterday's games very, very shortly. The Jareem Buller signing, re-signing for the West Tigers, Jonty, how high does that rate for them?
Very highly. And the Jareem Luai, I think most supporters and even the West Tigers are fairly comfortable the way it's played out, that he's got the rest of this year, they're on a roll, and all of next year to focus. I think Jerome Buller, you know, there's plenty of good young talent coming through the West Tigers, but it is a big signing. But also Terrell May and Taylor May, extending their time at the Tigers. It's a great show of faith. So they are heading in the right direction.
And Louis, I don't think you got a chance to answer the question about how do the Perth Bears compete?
They can't.
With the Chiefs?
I'm going to say they can't compete.
Louis saying under two games. You know when I said two wins next year, whereas their CEO said they make the semis, Louis...
So if I offered an over-under of games won by Perth next year, and this is even before the Chiefs come in, of 2.5, you're taking the under?
Me? No, who said that? He just said that. He just made it up.
Well, are you going to win more, are they?
They could. I reckon they'll
win. Well, are they?
They'll definitely get more than 6 points, put it that way.
They're going to win some games.
Yeah, they get three buys, Louis. You're right. No, they don't. Well, they will. They'll still probably get two. They'll have to rejig that.
Who cares about the buys? How many games will they win?
They'll win more than two.
If they're playing 24 games.
They'll win more than two.
I think so.
I'm only giving four, at least.
I think they're going to win games. Okay.
We'll have a bet on that. I'll go. You're going to bet me 4.5?
Yep.
Okay. They won't win four games.
Okay, wow.
I know you've jumped up from two.
Well, that's better. It gives me a little bit of fat.
But they can't compete with the PNGs. I can't see how they compete.
Every PNG's person, not in. They're no, in the year after.
I mean the year after. But when it talks about competing, when it comes to building a team and
that's well, that's stuff, what I'm meaning. Yeah,
and that's what I know what you mean. That's why I was going the way I was going. But
I think it's tougher travel.
It's tougher travel for the Bears.
It's a lot less money players will be getting in real terms. A
lot less money.
And they haven't got 30 players. They've got just a team, and they're.
At this stage,
they've got the 13 and 6 reserves. Is it about 19 they've got?
But even this morning, ran into a few players and we're talking about it. And mate, every player that I spoke to this morning, won't say names, but there's and from other clubs and other sides, they all want to speak to PNG.
Well, we had an interview yesterday with Max Plath.
Of course, he's encouraging them.
But, yeah. I'm not going. I'm not doing anything.
He wants to make a comeback.
How good would I have gone in tax-free money?
I'll bet you anything you like, Jonty, that when Michael Chambers is on shortly, Lou, you know, if you need a 40-year-old with big legs, I'm available. But no, Max Plath, I asked him yesterday, is this something you guys are chatting about? Because clearly they would be. He said, oh, absolutely. Like he's almost smiling as he's talking about the prospects, and I asked him then about his contract status, but he's tied up.
It is a huge, it's a huge advantage, and a lot of other, you know, a lot of supporters deem it as being grossly unfair.
Yes, it is unfair. I get why they've done it, but it is grossly unfair.
Well, but then didn't the clubs take a payment up front? Like didn't all the clubs get a payment too to say that?
Yes, that's why there's not been much noise from clubs.
Yeah, correct. Well, there you go.
And Daniel Tupou, I don't think he's underrated by anyone in the game, but he's the greatest star that never gets spoken about. He doesn't get, I think my question was, does he get anywhere near the attention he deserves publicly? I don't think he does.
I don't think so either. So therefore he's underrated.
No, but you know what? I look at it this way, right? I look at Alex Johnson and I look at Daniel Tupou. Mm. Yeah? Alex Johnson's getting a lot of talked about this year at the moment because obviously he broke the record and he scored some really good tries. Then you look at Daniel Tupou, he's a great finisher. But then when I compare both of them to, say, a Billy Slater, and I look at the way that they scored tries, well, I don't compare. They don't compare to Billy Slater. So, I think it's just the position that they play and the way that they score their tries, they're not talked about all the time. You know what I mean? Whereas because Billy Slater scored 190 at fullback, it was the way he did it.
Agree.
Yeah, I think there's an element of fact in what you're saying there, Louis. So, but I think that Daniel Tupou hardly misses a game and never does anything wrong. He's just perfect. And
that's right.
He wants to extend his time at the Roosters by another year too. I don't think that's even been done yet, Andrew.
It hasn't. It will. It seems to be the case almost every year with Daniel Tupou, and then a deal will get done as it should be.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Sunday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
You're with Luke Lewis, John Gibbs. I'm Andrew Moore here on NRL Sunday on ABC Sport at a sunny Shark Park ahead of the 4 o'clock game here between Cronulla Sutherland and the West Tigers. First game for the Tigers for Jerome Luai since signing a very lucrative deal with the PNG Chiefs for the 2028 season. He's had a big week, Chammy. Michael Chammis is the general manager of the PNG Chiefs and he's on the line. Michael, how are you going?
Afternoon, boys. How are we?
Very well, mate. How satisfying was that, after all the talk and the plannings and the whiteboards and whatever else, to actually get some of that business done?
Oh, it was huge. It was huge, boys. Obviously, been a lot of talk about it this week, but for a club like ours to get him on board pretty early on in the piece, and then the snowball effect will be huge for us. And that's why he was such an important piece of the puzzle, because we understood what it would bring, the attention that it's brought, what it would bring with other players wanting to be part of it, and also change the narrative around PNG being an undesirable place to come and play footy. And that has been flipped on its head in the space of one signature. So for us, that's a really, really proud moment.
Yeah, it is massive. And, you know, we're talking before, Chammy, we spoke to Max Plath yesterday from the Dolphins, and I just randomly asked him about a player's talking about the PNG and the tax-free money and the opportunities that present itself. And he said, absolutely. Are you being or expect to be inundated with phone calls from managers over the next little bit?
Yeah, like, to be honest with you, I was confident before this happened, because there has been a pretty high level of interest in joining the Chiefs, but you never know if it's real, is it managers using you for leverage? So even though I was optimistic, you sort of didn't know. But then once Jerome was done, to be honest with you, once Jerome was spotted in PNG,
yep,
the narrative shifted, and then obviously the phone calls started happening, players and agents, and ringing up to ask questions, letting us know that their players are interested, and to keep them in mind, which is a great position to be in. Obviously, with Willie overseas at the moment, he's got to focus on the whole KR, but the desired effect has happened with Jerome's signature already.
Yeah, we mentioned, I think it was last Sunday, that Jerome Luai had been sighted over in Port Moresby. So, seems like a quick process from visitation to signing. Was it pretty quick?
Oh, look, there's been conversations for a little while about it, but out of respect for the Tigers and also for us, we knew what date was coming up. You know, I reported it as a journo. I actually wrote the story about his clause in his contract, that he had the options, and that it was April 30. So I knew it really well. So we knew we didn't have much time, and I think it worked better that way, because he had to make a decision, and we didn't want it dragging out, affecting him, affecting the Tigers, because we want to be respectful to them. And I have to, hats off to the Tigers for the way they handled it, because they didn't have to waive the 10 days, Andrew. They could have said no and let this drag on till November, and we couldn't talk to him again till November. But they made a decision for what was best for their football club, but also what was best for their player. And once he'd made his decision, they supported him. And it's a credit to Benji Marshall and the West Tigers for how they've handled it.
Michael, congratulations, mate. I can hear the excitement in your voice, which is awesome. But so, well done. Mate, I was thinking about you yesterday. I was talking to, obviously, a good friend of yours as well, Michael Carianis. But we're going off all the players that are off contract.
Should have heard this debate, Chammy. And it was getting very... Unfortunately, it was all off-air, not on-air. But it was getting very loud. And I couldn't help but think that this, you are currently living MC's dream, and he's doing pretendsies lists of players and money. You're doing it for real. You've got that over him forever.
My phone's been ringing hot. I've actually brushed him a few times lately. I just let him know.
Oh, mate, he'd be hating that too, just quietly. But how is that list coming together? Like, it must be an exciting time for you guys, because I was looking at the list and the players that are coming off. You can build the most amazing squad there and have success pretty much straight off the bat.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Louis. Like, to be honest with you, when I first had discussions with the NRL about this, there was sort of a view, like, looking at how the Dolphins started and when they started and looking at when Perth started, that there was a lot of time. But it was in my view that we wanted to actually go early, because we were competing with a team that was coming in 12 months. So I said there's a whole pool of players we want to be able to at least access and talk to. And if we waited till later in the year, those players would be taken up. And Jerome's that example. Like, if we didn't get, I think Mal was put in place around August. If we sort of waited till August as well, we would have missed Jerome. So it was pivotal for me that we moved quickly on the coach, and then we could actually start moving. And, you know, the NRL, I know they're copping a lot of heat at the moment about what's happening with Perth, but, you know, like, for us, selfishly, we need to do what's best for PNG, and what's best for PNG is to be able to act quickly. So it's worked out really well. Now that gives us opportunity now to take a step back. As we mentioned, the phone calls are coming in, assess who's interested, and make the right decisions, because the one thing that we do have is the luxury of people wanting to come now. And, you can say what you like about tax-free, but there's also an excitement around being part of something pretty special, being part of the inaugural team. And it's going to be a wild journey. It's going to be an adventure over there because it is a rugby league mad nation. And for anyone who's involved in that first season, you'll be talking about it in 30, 40 years, about what that was like and the experience that you got from it.
Oh, I agree. I think the journey is going to be amazing. The other thing is, too, that how's it going to work with you guys? So I remember you speaking a couple of weeks ago, you were saying that it's going to be about getting a lot of the local guys coming through and aspiring to play in the NRL and getting them into the NRL squad. Do you guys have a plan on going, okay, we want 15 to 16 players that we want to bring in. We want to bring in some older guys, young guys, and then blood the rest? Or is it to buy a whole squad and then get the kids that are already there to come through and learn how to become a first grader?
Oh, look, if we want a PNG representation in our team, there's no doubt about it. We want to be the team of Papua New Guinea, the team of the Pacific, and we need to make sure that the players are ready. And then there's a whole group of players who we've identified that we want to move on. The reason we've moved on Jerome so early is because we had to. We'd have missed him. But we're definitely keeping an eye on these young guys at the moment who are coming through. We're going to spend some time in England watching the London Broncos boys. There's a number of PNG boys in that team with Jason Demetrio. So what we want is to make sure they've got a future at the club. And then year by year, that'll grow. Year one, it'll be a certain number. But by the time we get to year five, then the year 10, I'd like to think the predominant numbers in our team are coming from Papua New Guinea. And that's going to be the mark of success. It'll be whether or not we're developing those pathways and then showing the kids that they've got a path through to the NRL.
Michael, I've been lucky enough to see firsthand how avid the PNG community is about rugby league, or the country is about rugby league. I coached Lay up in the mid-80s and early 80s, and I also took up there many years ago Wally Lewis and Andrew Johns when the PNG Hunters came in, and they were treated like rock stars. So it is such a big advantage, and just getting away from Jerome Luai for a moment, and the tax-free stuff, the corporate interests will be amazing. Third-party deals, because there's so many multinational companies up there, they'll also be a huge boon for players and, you know, an advantage you have when you're negotiating. Is that also the third-party deals? Are they also tax-free?
It gives you, well, you know more than anyone what it means to the people there. And obviously, there are elements of the country that that are quite poor, and it's really sad to see. But there's also an element to the country that are quite wealthy, and those big international companies that are based there, they want to be involved in the Chiefs and in rugby league. So for us, we obviously can see that because there's interest in sponsoring us as a club. But beyond that, obviously we can't get involved in it. But I have no doubt that the players are going to attract interest from companies who want to be involved with them or be associated with those players. So that is something that I have no doubt their managers will be looking at. And the earlier they get in, the more you can sort of leverage that. But yeah, like I think that more than anywhere else in the world, because there's no other professional sporting teams, because the market is so rugby league dominated, they can capitalise and cash in on that. Now, to answer your question on tax-free, now, I'm not a tax expert. From my understanding, what I've been told, it will be tax-free in PNG. So anything that you earn from Papua New Guinea will be tax-free, but won't be tax-free when you bring it back into Australia. So that's different to their salaries. Their salaries will be tax-free on both ends, both Papua New Guinea and Australia, but yeah, from my understanding, third parties, one end will be tax-free.
They might just need a good accountant or two. Just interrupting for one moment this conversation, Michael Carayannis, obviously inspired by you being on the line, Michael Chamis, has just said he's put a story up on the Telegraph social pages that Mark Nwanganita Waze is out of Origin. He's gone for 4 to 6 weeks with that ankle injury suffered for the Roosters last night in the first half against Brisbane. So Nwanganita Waze gone for up to 6 weeks and no longer in Origin contention. John Gibbs speaking with Michael Chamis.
Yeah, I've got to say, I think, Michael, there's a capacity for some players that could actually earn more from third-party deals, if you know, those charismatic, high-profile players, than they do actually from their wages. So it is huge. It's such a big advantage.
Yeah, it is. It is. And guys like Alex Johnson, who already have a profile in the country, he's a national hero. You know, they might be towards the back end of his career, and I think he'll be 33 years old in 2028. But off the field, for what he can set himself up for life, given his profile already, that he's already in the country, it's huge for them. So, you know, look, it's interesting that the narrative has shifted, boys. Like, when I first took on the job, people were saying to me, why would you do that? As if you're going to be able to sign anyone. Why would you leave journalism to take on a club that's no one wants to go to? And then within the space of this signing,
it's shifted to this is unfair and you know, this can't happen, it's cheating, all some of the narrative going around at the moment. I think as a club, we just sit back and take it as a bit of a badge of honour that we've made the right call with Jerome, because if he's had this much impact in the space of a week, imagine what he can do in the 18 months before he even arrives.
Mate, it's only a right if you're not in on it, Michael, so don't worry about them. I want to ask you,
Louis wants
the private
a job.
Jet. Yes. Yeah, you can get me a job too. The private jet that got flown over there by whoever got him over there for Jerome Luai, will that be something you guys would consider for flight-wise for the team? Like, will you have your own private jet where they'll be able to get on and off flights pretty quickly?
I don't think we have our own private jet, but we're working on a way to be able to get in and out of the country. Now, where we're staying in Port Moresby, it's right next door to the airport. So we'll be able to get in and out pretty quickly. But there aren't frequent flights to Sydney. They don't fly every day. They don't fly to where we need to go all the time. So hopefully we can come up with an arrangement where we may perhaps can charter some flights or work with the airlines over there to get in and out of the country when we need to.
I reckon there'll have to be a private jet place out there to look after you.
Oh, Louis, don't start, because you'll probably know a friend of a friend. Oh, it's just you have grey areas all over the place. Just some groundskeeping from yesterday, Chammy. We got a question from a listener about the PNG Hunters in the Queensland Cup and their role with the PNG Chiefs. Has that been worked out yet?
Not as yet. Obviously, the Hunters are really important to Papua New Guinea. I think the licence for the QRL competitions expire at the same time as the NRL, which is end of next year. So as a club, we can sit down and work out what that looks like, what a reserve grade looks like, and then beyond that, what does 21s, 19s, 17s look like, and when do we bring those in? So there's a lot of planning to be done. I know everyone looks at it and thinks the job is just purely signing players, but there's so much of my time being spent at the moment on working out how our pathways will work, how to maximise those kids, and how do we develop them so we can do what I said earlier, which is create an environment where in 10 years' time, it's predominantly PNG-based players.
Were people honestly saying, what are you giving away journalism to do this gig for? You can always write.
The only one who didn't say that was Carianis. Yeah, he wanted me around to hang out with, because now I'm brushing his calls, not giving me anything. To be honest with you.
You got a hell of a book that you're going to have at the other side of this too.
I knew that I loved my job and what I was giving up, but I honestly believed in this project. And you're not going to sell it to everyone. Not everyone's going to believe. And some people just want to kind of come for the money, right? But I honestly believe that Jerome isn't one of those. Now, the money's there and it's a benefit. But I could see in his eyes and his partner and his kid there, they were genuinely moved by what we are trying to do as a club and what the Prime Minister was telling him it would do to the country. And to have someone who's actually genuinely touched by that, I think it sends a strong message to everyone else.
Just finally, a serious question. It's about, you know, apparently where you're going to be staying, the players will be living, is remarkably good. And it's beautiful and spacious and all of that sort of thing. But the fact remains, players are going to be restricted in their movement. They can't just wander around to the shops at Port Moresby. And I had someone on the phone this morning saying, where are the kids going to go to school? Are they going to get sick? Are wives not going to want to be part of this scenario? Have you finalised details of that when you're negotiating with players about movement around Port Moresby? What's there for their partner? What's there for their kids?
Yeah, well, that was a big part of what we wanted to show Jerome, because that narrative isn't correct, Andrew. Like, we took Jerome's partner, Bailey, to the local shopping centre. She went around and looked at the ground. Like, there's no issues there. Now, we didn't take Jerome down, not because of a safety concern, but because we wouldn't have got out. Everyone would have taken photos with him. So the issue for us isn't safety. Like, they're going to be treated like rock stars. They'll be absolute gods in that country. The issue is going to be like it is for a lot of the Indian cricketers when they're in India. It's because they're so popular, because everyone loves them, they want to get close to them and take a photo. That they're just, their privacy is not going to be the same. And we've got to have security measures around them. Like, they won't be driving the players, you know. Like, if someone sees someone driving in the streets, they'll all be coming up to take photos. Like, it's not only then become a safety hazard for the players, but also the people around them. So we took Jerome and his partner and his son to the local international school there. It was beautiful. They were really impressed by it. We took them down to the golf club, the yacht club. Like, this notion that they're going to be locked up in the hotel, and even if it's a good hotel, that they can't come out, it's false, mate. And that's what we wanted Jerome to see, that he could live a normal life, albeit as a rock star, but he could still go out with his family and do things. So that's our job, to put things around the players and their families, for them to be happy. And I'm not worried about the players, mate. They will be fine. Footballers, they'll be in an environment that they know well. They'll be fine. What our biggest job is to make sure the wives and the partners and the kids, they're happy. And they've got things to do. And they're not sitting there thinking, what have we come here for? And if we can do that, we'll be successful.
Michael, great to catch up with you. It's been a massive week, as I say, for the PNG Chiefs. I'm sure there'll be more to come. We'll stay in touch if you don't brush us like you have the other MC.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime.
See you, mate. Michael Chamis, the General Manager of Football at the PNG Chiefs.
NRL Sunday on ABC Sport.
Rugby League is on your radio. ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Hi, this is Chris Barth, a new member of the ABC's weekend team this year. I'm a Parramatta Eels supporter. Can be difficult at times, but I do love the NRL and I have many thoughts about it. Many. But right now, we are after your first thought. The first thing that comes to your mind when Andrew mentions the topic. And don't be like John Gibbs. It's not your second or third or fourth, fifth or sixth thought. Just your first thought. Sorry, Gibbsy.
Well, Christine, we started this a little while ago, throwing in a whole decade. That was the 1970s. Today we are after your first thought when you hear the 1980s. In a rugby league sense, 1980s. First thing to come into your head. Now, for me, it was Canterbury versus Parramatta. When you consider they really dominated 1980s rugby league, Parramatta won its first three premierships in 1981, 82 and 83, beating Newtown and then Manly Warringah in back-to-back years. Canterbury won it in 84, beating Parramatta, and again in 85, toppling St George by a point. And then the Eels fought back to beat the Bulldogs in the 1986 decider at the SCG, the only tryless grand final. How can you believe that was the Eels' last premiership? Canterbury won it all again in 1988, beating Balmain in the first grand final played at the now old Sydney Football Stadium. So that's my first thought, Canterbury versus Parramatta. How about you when you hear the 1980s? You can call us now on 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920222. Who or what is your first thought? Now, I'm assuming it's a little bit easier for you, Louis, than the 1970s. 1980s, where did your head go?
Well, as soon as you said 1980s, I just remember how ruthless the game was. So I'm going to go ruthlessness. I just thought it was brutal. When you watch the games played, there's been a couple of highlights being played recently, and some of the tackles are just ridiculous. There's spear tackles, there's like head highs, the contact, the fighting, the biting, the eye gouging, everything was in it. So for me, the first thing I just thought, like, I love watching it, but...
It was ruthless.
It was ruthless, yeah. So ruthless for me.
Yeah, okay, that's a great answer. What popped into your head, John Gibson? Well, you lived part of it.
Yeah, well, my line is very similar to what Louis said, because the first thing that I thought of, 1980, Tom Raudonikis. Now, I played him in the 70s and I played him in the 80s, but he was the first thing that popped in my head for the 80s was Tom Raudonikis.
Well, yeah, he spearheaded Newtown to that grand final in 81 against Parramatta, and obviously... your last game, one of the most violent games of footy ever played in that semi-final at the SCG between Newtown and Manly Warringah.
Just a little thing. Mm. My first game
was against Tom Raudonikis.
And he's bit my nose off.
You did.
And my last game against Newtown was when they jumped on me.
Poor Jonty.
Well, I stomped on my knee. No, it's incredible. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's weird.
Is that what made you retire?
Yes.
Your knee, yeah. Yeah, it was ruthless. So, yeah, it's all I can say.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, I just thought it was the most brutal game. And I watching the games recently, amazing. Like,
bless you.
Just had a little red button there. But I just seen, there was a tackle I seen the other day. I think it was Blocker and John Cartwright.
Yeah.
He was running and he'd come over the top, missed him just, but he got spear tackled on his thing. I dropped the ball, play on. So they picked the ball up, the Tigers, ran down the other. Benny Elias was flying. And then Brad Izzard comes from absolutely nowhere.
Oh, that tackle on Benny.
Takes his head off. Oh, that... And I was like, well, imagine today, that's 12 months.
Do you know what it was? Ruthless.
So you, ruthless. You accepted it. But that is, in mine... As a bloke, there's no names or anything, but it's come in. I'm laying on the ground after setting up a try. It's come on and jumped and stomped on the back of my knee. Dear. I mean, That's ruthless, Louis.
It is.
On the text line, afternoon legends. First thought, for some reason, Brett Kenny. What a player. No stupid disruptor role in the rule in the 80s. Keep up the great work from Brent in Cairns. End of the decade, but I thought of the Tina Turner campaign and the accompanying video clip from Adam at Bundaberg. Yeah, good call, Adam. First thought, Canterbury v Parramatta rivalry. John from Sydney are in the same wavelength. Maury Ray Price, the Prince of Pain, says Eamon in Queensland. Blocker patting the ref's head. Blocker benefited quite a lot of that financially. Hi, team. First thought today, Dogs and Eels, but Dogs being the team of the 80s, reckons Boz in Bundy. Andrew, first thought Tina Turner from the Sheriff in Melbourne. And another says, first thought the long hairstyles. Leo and Cliff Listing travelling home from Wagga Cup Carnival. Good job. Excellent, Leo. Thank you, Cliff.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Sunday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
We do have a special guest in the broadcast box. I spoke with her recently in our Getting to Know You segment. Actually, she's a young star of the game. And that is Cronulla Sharks NRLW fullback Jada Taylor. And we're here to talk about Sharks have a heart round, which is a celebration of the club's charitable foundation. I'll get Jada to tell us all about it. Welcome. How are you going?
Hi, I'm good. It's good to be here. Honestly, I don't mind talking to the media a little bit. So it feels good to be sitting up here and out of the sun.
Well, for now, it's a beautiful day. You're now a Sutherland Shire girl, surely.
I am a Shire girl, I will say. I do love the area, but the beach is not really my vibe. I'm from Tamworth, so it's a little bit far away for me.
Oh, you'll never be welcome at Louis' house. He owns the beach down here. Fair dinkum.
King of the Shire.
I don't know about that.
Oh, the way you struck.
2016 is spoken about way too much around here.
Yeah, well, mainly from Louis. Sharks have a heart round, which is being celebrated today. So tell us about what is the concept.
Yeah, Sharks Have Heart is basically our community team. So there's a couple of us NRLW girls working for the club, me and Emma Tonegado, or Emma Varon now.
She's about to become a mum too.
She is about to become a mum. So super exciting to have her here for this Sharks Have Heart round, but this will be our last one, unfortunately. But lots happening. We've got a Score Sharks team, which is a disability team that play as the Sharks, and they'll be doing a lap of honour today. We've got... have another disability group doing mermaids, which is our cheerleaders, so they'll be out performing today as well. We've got some junior girls doing a relay at half time, and our 50-50 charity raffle as well today. So lots happening for Sharks Have Heart round.
So this is about community, really, isn't it?
All about community, the best part of rugby league.
So you're a Tamworth girl, you've come to Sydney, and you first came into the spotlight with that stunning try in the under-19s game at Leichhardt, New South Wales, against Queensland. How do you get to be involved in something like this? Is this something that you're excited about doing?
Yeah, this is probably my favourite stuff. I grew up in a rugby league family in Tamworth, and sort of never thought because I was a girl I wouldn't be involved. So I think I've had a different path to a lot of other females. I started when I was 5. I never had to stop playing, really. And now I get to work for the club full time and play as a little side hustle. So I really love it. And I think today showcases the best part about rugby league, and that's the people, the community.
That is such a different path, isn't it, now for young ladies like yourself, as opposed to plenty I'm sure you've spoken to, who either have to come up and stop playing, or they're playing against boys and then they got to stop. They go to rugby union, they play sevens rugby, then they come over to league, or they start with league tag. The opportunities now are at least there on an even scale, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, and it's absolutely awesome. I know just in the Shire alone, we have one of the biggest catchments of girls playing rugby league and playing sport in general, and it's awesome that these girls can now dream of having a career in rugby league, and by the time they're ready to step into the spotlight, they will be full-time athletes. That's just the reality of it. So it's super cool, and I feel super privileged to be in the position I am, but it's only going to get better.
Jada, you obviously talk that you're in a football family coming through, and you're staying in football, and you love it, because you can see the smile on your face when you speak, but... Have you got aspirations on where you would like to go in rugby league? Is it just playing football? Is it getting higher up in the rugby league? What's the team? Like, is it like being the CEOs or something like that? What's your
you've plan? How old are you, Jada? 21?
I'm 22.
She's only a baby. But...
Yeah, and you've got her being CEO already.
Well, I'm just saying, she seems like a great
speaker.
Watch
out,
Dina. Yeah, watch out, Dina.
You've got nothing to beat. You're already taller than him.
No, I honestly, to be like... honestly, I'm just taking one step at a time. I think I, at the moment, I've had a lot of time off the field. I've had 3 shoulder recos, just come back from the ACL. So I feel privileged to be able to still take the field. And my main priority at the moment is to get back out there and perform well for the Sharks. But everyone plays the game to be good at it. I think I'm competitive. I'm super competitive. And every teammate I've ever had has probably said that about me. But you want to play to be the best, then hopefully this year the Sharks will be the best and we'll be bringing home another premiership for the club so they stop talking about Louis.
Come on, mate. Make me blush. How is the body feeling? So this is your first preseason you're going into with no injuries to worry about.
Yeah, I feel really good, to be honest. Yeah, you said the smile was big, but as soon as I hear that, I get super excited, I think, just to get around the girls and have a full pre-season together. We've obviously had a couple of pregnancies. That's the nature of the women's game at the moment, that we've got a couple of our superstars out with pregnancy. So I feel like I'm 22, but it's time to mature and have a really big pre-season and hopefully be a leader within the group as well.
I thought you were going to say it's time to mature and have a baby.
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, mate. My gosh.
I'll tell you 30 plus.
Jodie, you've obviously shown great resilience with those injuries that you referred to. Any time you felt maybe I should give this away, because the game has progressed, but it's still not really financially viable as a profession.
Yeah, I think
for most.
You definitely have those thoughts. And I had my first shoulder reco when I was 16, and I sort of thought, oh, this just is a part of the game, and you think you've got all this time. And then when I did my ACL, I was 21, or a couple of weeks before my 21st birthday, and after the 3 shoulders, I sort of thought, oh my gosh, it was about week 3 and I still couldn't walk properly, and I was a bit over it. And I think you have those moments where you break down and cry and say, this is it, I'm done with this sport. And I actually went to one of our disability days that we had, and they were also heartbroken for me that I couldn't play rugby league for 12 months. And it kind of made me reflect and go, oh my gosh, what a loser I am, because I, like, these people dream about playing at Shark Stadium, at Ocean Protect Stadium, and I'm out for 12 months, I'll be back. So I think everything's perspective, and I'm 22, I've got a long time left in the game.
And you're talking about, you know, that Origin game the other night, a terrible time to play, and at the moment it's the only place that can fit into the calendar. But the high profile that Women's Rugby League is gaining, and you go to yourself, you became an overnight sensation with that length of the field try at Leichhardt. I mean, it almost changed your life.
Yeah, that smile again.
No, it certainly did. I call it the try that keeps on giving, to be honest. It's it was a really special moment. But as you said, I feel sort of sorry for the girls who had to go out there and they haven't played footy in so long. And it's the most watched rugby league game this year. And I think that's really exciting to see where women's footy is going. But it's also really, really hard, our scheduling at the moment. So I say, NRL, make us go full time and put the Origin a bit later in the year.
I just noticed you dropped your phone. I'm worried about Louis is the greatest phone thief in the history of the world. So Sharks have Heart Round here at Shark Park. Is there anything for the public to do when they get here today?
Support nice and loud. Get behind the boys as well. Make sure you get behind all the activations happening.
Raffle tickets.
Buy a 50-50 ticket. And make sure you support our Disability Trust walking around today as well.
And for more on Sharks Have Heart, its programs and the organisation it supports, go to sharks.com.au/sharkshaveheart. At sharks.com.au.
I just want one quick one. Jada, as you were growing up
in Tamworth... You don't know what a quick one is.
Yes. Who was the team that you used to support?
Who was the team in Tamworth?
No. In the NRL.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know where we were going with that one. But yes, no. I feel it's not the day to say.
Oh, Tiger Girl!
I don't tell people often. I was a huge Benji fan, and I had a pink jersey, and one of my dad's teammates actually bought me my first ever jersey, so I didn't get a say. But it's been a long time since I've had to tell people that I was a Tiger
and
fan.
Well, we won't replay more than 2 or 3 times a day, but West Tigers did take home games to Tamworth. So
yeah, they certainly
there's a
did.
Connection there. All right, Jada, great to see you. Great to know that you're fit with pre-season training about to kick in for you at the Sharks for an NRLW season. Hopefully we'll see you play every game this year. And if anything happens, you have some time off, let us know. We'd love to have you back in here.
Thanks, guys. So entertaining. I love it.
We don't mean to
this
be. That's the
Louis
problem.
World.
Yeah. Look, just boys. Guard your phone. Jada Taylor, one of the young stars of the NRLW, joining us here in the broadcast box. Sharks Have Heart Round here at Shark Park.
NRL Sunday on ABC Sport.
Rugby League is on your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio,
and ABC Listen.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
All right, time to get to know one of our favourite rugby league players, and he's been around a while. I feel like we know everything there is to know about Josh Papali'i, the Canberra Raiders front rower, but I'm sure we don't. Let's find out. He's on the line today. Josh, how are you going?
Thanks for having us on, pal.
No, pleasure. It's going to be fun getting to know you. Do you have a nickname other than Papa?
Yeah, I've got a few. Well, but when I'm in trouble from the wife, it's Sua. S-U-A.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm more commonly used Sua around the Raiders facilities, which is my Samoan name for Joshua.
Oh, okay. Right, there you go, Sua. And we just in the media are pretty simple folk and Big Papa.
Yeah, or Big Papa, yeah, Papa, Pups.
Yeah, all of the above. What is the first job you ever had?
First job was a bit of metal work with my uncle, who's passed away. But yeah, did a bit of work experience from high school when I was, I think, 14, back in Logan. So, bit of metal scrap work.
What about the first car you ever owned?
First car? Well, I bought cars for family members and stuff, but my first one would have to be a patrol.
When did you first realise, Josh, that you could make a living out of playing footy?
I think when I got my first cheque, brother.
How good. But did you realise the success you could have and the money you could end up making?
Nah, definitely not. It was definitely just a dream. And then, when you start getting paid well, you sort of, invest in a few things. So,
when did you first fall in love with rugby league, do you remember?
Yeah, at an early age. Obviously just growing up in Brisbane and watching the Broncos and, probably age of 5, 6.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
It's an easy one for me. It's counter with love. So if you're going through things or other people are giving you a bit of dirt, instead of retaliating in anger just counting with love in everything I do.
There might be a few political leaders around the place that could do with that advice. What what is an achievement that you're most proud of? It can be anything.
Oh, mate, probably getting married and having children.
Very, very wise answer. What's your favourite sport, Josh, other than rugby league?
Oh, it'd have to be golf. I love my golf.
So do you still play golf on game day?
No, well, that tradition stopped when Jordan Rapana left Canberra, so I don't anymore, no.
Oh, do you still play as much as ever, though?
Well, I've had a kid, my fourth son.
Oh, how do you have time to scratch yourself then?
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
Do you have a bucket list sporting event that you'd love to go and watch?
Yeah, would it have to be the Masters, the golf, or NBA games?
We are getting to know Canberra Raiders legendary front rower Josh Papali'i. What about your favourite TV show when you were growing up?
Favourite TV show, Home and Away.
No way. Who's your favourite character?
I had too many favourite ones there. I can't choose them.
Really?
I was really into Home and Away growing up.
Could you live in Summer Bay?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
You know we belong together.
Prose on it. You couldn't read instructions if they are written a mile high in flaming whiskey bottles, and that's saying something.
You don't know me from a cash order, and you're about to tell the whole flaming world that I'm a narrow-minded redneck.
You are.
Now, you listen to me, you little piece of carpet fluff. You couldn't lie straight in bed. And I tell you what, if you think you can wiggle your way out of this one, you better think again, boy.
That might be the first one we've ever had saying Home and Away. What about movies? Your favourite movie of all time?
Oh, probably the Equalizer. I just watch that all the time.
What, potatoes or a vegetable? I like crunchy things.
Carrots are crunchy. Dry seaweed is crunchy.
I'm a human, not a rabbit.
You want to make security guards, you got to lose weight, you got to test in 1 week. Now, you ask me to help you, but if you're not willing to apply yourself, progress, not perfection.
Still getting over Home and Away. I was talking to my producer, Ralph, before we called you, and we're wondering what your favourite TV show would be. We were a million miles away from Home and Away.
Well, what did he have?
I said, I thought it might be something violent, and you're not a violent person, but I just had that in mind. All right, we'll move on then. Is there something, well, we've just discovered something we don't know about you. Is there a hobby or something that you do that the public wouldn't know about?
To be honest, a lot of people don't believe that I actually love my golf and actually, like, decent at it. So it would probably be the golf, I reckon.
What's your favourite golf club?
Yeah, I love, it's called an approach wedge. So when I'm 100 metres out or 70 metres out, I just use this one club that usually is my go-to.
Nice. Can you cook?
I can't cook.
Fair enough. What's your favourite meal that does your wife cook? I'm assuming with you and four kids, she'd have to cook a lot.
Yeah. She makes a nice pesto pasta with salmon.
Ooh, sweet. So you, Josh Papali'i, are hosting a dinner party. Which three people, alive or dead, are you inviting?
Only three.
Well, we'll start with three and see how you go.
I'd probably have to go Tiger, LeBron James.
So you've gone for Tiger Woods, LeBron James, and?
Alfie Langer.
Really? Well, he'll be great company.
I know he'll start the party off for sure.
And he will be the midget of that crowd, and he will absolutely give it to you all. That's a great choice. All right. Also for you, Josh, the music side of things, do you have a favourite band or singer?
No, I listen to a lot of reggae, so, a bit of, like, Bob Marley, Lucky Dupe, so that kind of... I listen to a lot of traditional stuff as well, so. One love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. Hear the children crying. One love. Hear the children crying. One heart. Saying, give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Saying, let's get together and feel all right. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Marley, legend. Best concert you've ever been to?
Never been to one.
Get out.
Yeah, never been to a concert, so.
And yet you can probably sing the Home and Away theme song. You're a bit of a twisted individual, Josh. What, if anything, scares you?
Anything that scares me? There's a few things. Flying, the open ocean, they're just two.
Right.
Of the things that scare me.
So I'm not going to find you on a cruise ship anytime soon?
No, never.
Well, if you're not doing that, what is your favourite holiday destination?
Well, I've never been on a holiday destination. I've only just been there for footy, and then that's about it.
Mate, you're a rugby league legend. You haven't gone anywhere on a holiday. You need to take your wife and four children away somewhere just for your own well-being.
Yes, maybe Fiji one day.
Yes, my favourite place in the world. All right, are you handy? Are you good with your hands? Do you build stuff?
No, I'm not. I copy from the wife all the time.
What's your take on clowns, Josh Papali'i? Great fun or terrifying?
No, terrifying.
Terrifying, okay. I'm learning so much about you. This is awesome. summer or winter?
Definitely summer.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Sweet or savoury?
Sweet.
Peanut butter, crunchy or smooth?
It has to be smooth.
Has to be. And the last one, this is the vital one, Josh. Tomato sauce, cupboard or fridge?
I'm a fridge guy.
You're 100% correct, as it should be. There are so many who aren't. I'd expect nothing else from a fan of Home and Away. Josh Papali'i, Canberra Raiders front rower. So good getting to know you, mate. Can't wait to see you back on the field soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
On Grandstand Rugby League, let's hear our man of sound, Dennis Carnahan's Song of the Week.
Some players don't like to speak. They ain't got much to say. But they always front up to do the post-match interviews anyway. And maybe they don't talk fine, but on one thing you can rely, that every time that mic comes near, they make sure that they give full credit to the boys.
Full credit to the boys.
Yeah, give the boys respect.
Full credit to the boys.
Give credit to your brother. And then say it once again. This game is not a one-man show. You know where that credit goes. Whoa, full credit to the boys.
Yeah, full credit to the boys. Full credit to them. Yeah, as I said, full credit to the boys.
Credit to the boys, man. Credit to our boys.
Alex Twal might not say much, but he gives credit every time.
Full credit to the boys. Full credit to the boys.
And the Wanganita Waze likes to mix it up and change the line.
Credit to my boys. Yeah, to our boys.
Nafahu White also goes off script, but you still know what he means.
Oh, credit to my boys.
But Lockie Galvin does so well, dropping multiple. Full credit to the boys.
Yeah, full credit to the boys.
Again and again and again.
Full credit to the boys. Full credit to the boys.
Let's hear it for your brothers.
Full credit to the brothers.
But call them boys, not men.
Credit to the boys, man.
This game is not a one-man show. Give credit where that credit's owed. Oh, full credit to the boys.
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 Yeah, full credit to the boys.
Credit to our boys. Full credit to the boys. Credit, obviously, to the boys.
Credit to the boys.
Full credit.
Look, yeah, full credit to the boys, you know. And full credit to the boys. We turned up.
I've no idea if that's your best of the year, Dennis, but that is the funniest of the year, no doubt. And Dennis would like to give full credit to Lockie Galvin. Four of the full credit to the boys to Lockie in that. Three to Mark Nwanganita Waze, or Mark's version of it. A couple to Alex Twal, Sunia Taruva, Luke Garner, Nafahu White as well.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.